A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Special thanks to our host, Young Israel of Cherry Hill. Erevin Tzadi Hei, Erevin 95A, pagination page 189, at the bottom, the start of the new perek. This is a famous topic. Hamotze Tefillin, if a person were to find tefillin that were placed in a disrespectful place, they're stuck on the floor or something somewhere, how did they get there? So there's a very practical application which would explain what's going on over here, that it could be Bishas HaSakona, in a time when there was a legislation against wearing tefillin or other types of observance, and people were worried to be seen with many pairs of tefillin, so they stash them away somewhere. And someone else comes by, and he realizes, we have to figure out a way to get these tefillin back into a building, into a safe place. So what's he going to do? So one approach was, machnisan zug zug. He should bring them in one pair at a time, meaning he's going to wear them. It's going to look like personal observance. And he's going to wear them in. His problem is that he can't carry them on Shabbos. As far as the prohibition of muktzah goes, so obviously muktzah regarding tefillin, we're going to relax that in order to get the tefillin in, whatever our logic is going to be. But any leniency that you could possibly come up with to allow you to save the tefillin, we're going to pull off, and you're going to wear them into the house. Rabbi Gamliel Omer Shnayim Shnayim. Rabbi Gamliel says you could even wear them two at a time. You could wear two shel roshes and two shel yads. And the Gemara explains because theoretically there's place on the body to wear two pairs of tefillin, depending on the size of the tefillin, obviously. But theoretically it could be done, and this Rabbi Gamliel is not brought lahalacha. Bamedvar Mamurim, the Mishnah continues, b'yishanos. If these are what we call old tefillin, meaning they're ready to go. They are clearly tefillin. Ava b'chadoshos potter. But if it's not clear that they are tefillin, maybe someone made an amulet in the form of tefillin, and you wouldn't have to bring them in, and you don't have to go to these great lengths. Nowadays, we don't have amulets made in such a way, so this cautionary clause doesn't really apply. Matzan tzivosim o krichos. If a person finds bundles of tefillin, there are a lot of tefillin there. So one approach is machshech aleihem u'mevi'an. You simply wait there, guard them, and then you bring them after Shabbos onto the next side. Uvesakana. But if it's a time of danger and you can't afford to be seen with so many pairs of tefillin, Mechasan v'holichlo, the best you could do is cover them. You could take off a garment or something, cover them, and leave. Rashi, in the word sakana, says that it's just a dangerous place, nothing to do with the government, but he's afraid because of listim, because of bad people, that if they see him as a loner hanging out in the forest, they'll approach him and make trouble for him. So he doesn't want to remain there for the duration of Shabbos. Now, the Mishnah continues with a solution, which really has a lot of application, and we need to know when it applies and what aspects of caution there might be here. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, Nosnan lachavero, you could hand the tefillin to your friend, v'chaveru l'chaveru, and your friend can hand them to your friend, to his friend, ad shemagia l'chatzar achitzona, until you reach a reasonable place by the city, a place of safety. Now, let's finish the Mishnah, and then we'll see how this could apply. What we're doing here is that instead of you carrying it, because that would be hotza'ah, carrying, you're going to pass it to your friend. V'chein b'no, and the same thing if you have a child that's not able to walk, a newborn child or a child, in our more common application, a child that's making trouble, on a walk. Nosno lachaveru, vachaveru lachaveru. Pass it one to the other until you get in. Afilu meya, even 100 people. Rabbi Yehuda amar nosin adam chavis lachaveru. You could even pass a pitcher to a friend, vachaveru lachaveru, afilu chutz l'tchum, even if the pitcher ends up going out of the tchum, out of the boundary of Shabbos. Amrulo, no, you can't do that. It depends who owns it. But again, the concept that you could pass something one person to the next and get it wherever it needs to go is being introduced by this Mishnah. Now, we know that there's a concept of hotza'ah of Dalid Amos. If you were to transfer something from one place to the other, going Dalid Amos, four Amos, let's say 7 feet, that would be the act of Hotzah on Shabbos. It doesn't matter if you move something from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim or vice versa, which is considered an act of transfer, or if you go ahead and transfer something in the Rishus HaRabim out of its place. If you go Dalet Amos, that's considered an act of Hotza'ah. What would happen if a person himself would purposely go less than Dalet Amos? He would purposely take 2 steps and stop and wait. And then take another 2 steps and stop and wait. Would that be sufficient? Why is the Mishnah making such a big deal that you pass it to your friend and your friend to your friend in order to get the item to where it needs to go? So, from the Gemara and from Halacha, the challenge when you're doing it yourself is Chayshinon, we're concerned that you're going to forget yourself and instead of taking 2 steps, you're going to take a little bit more. Whereas, if you're passing it to your friend, even though we don't like it, and we only employ this in cases of mitzvah or duress, but when there's another person there, we know that you yourself are never going to take more than the number of steps you're allowed to take. You'll take the step, or you'll pass it over to the person, a combination of the two, something like that you're going to be doing, you're not going to end up going the true, whatever, the forbidden distance. I'm alluding, maybe you're allowed to take a step in between, maybe also that is totally restricted, but certainly not to rub it to the edge where I'm going to take, but not Dalet Amos. That's exactly, we don't want that happening, that's too far, because you could easily be in violation. Also, something interesting to observe is that when you stop, in halacha, whenever you stop while you're carrying something, if it's only a stopping in order to continue going, it's not considered a stopping. What you're trying to do is do 2 amos at a time instead of doing 4. But if you do what's called omed lekasef, to fix the burden, that's considered a fixing in order to continue going. And that's not considered a true stop.
In regards to the 4 amos?
As far as the 4 amos goes, correct.
So you would add them up then.
So then it all gets added up. So now you could have a great philosophical question. If I'm stopping only for the purpose of being able to continue to go with rabbinic sanction, is that called stopping? Omid lafush would mean to stop for the purposes of resting. This guy is not stopping for the purposes of resting. He's stopping for the purposes of going. He just wants your endorsement. And it becomes a very interesting, delicate subject, whether that's really considered stopping to begin with. Besides the fact that we're chayshinon, that we're worried that you're going to go more than the 4 amos. Now, the Mishnah's recommendation is to pass one person to the other. In halacha, we're willing to employ this in cases of duress or in cases of mitzvah. So that if a child was not walking, you went for a nice Shabbos walk and suddenly the child stops walking, screaming, whatever. So yes, to pass one person to the next. Husband, wife, let's say, if they're able to, they could pass one to the other. Perhaps they would just rotate the child on their own pivot, put the child down, and then the next one would pick the child up, perhaps. There are creative ways to accomplish this. What some people try to do in employing this, and really this is simply a lack of awareness, is that let's say a ball gets kicked out of the Eruv, so the children think that they're allowed to pass the ball one person to the next in order to get the ball back into the Eruv. There are two problems with that. Number one, I don't know that playing ball on Shabbos is such an enormous mitzvah that they have the right to employ something that we only do that in a case of a mitzvah. And secondly, someone is going to be doing the border between the public area and the fenced-in Rishus HaYachid. And the Mishnah Berurah points out that whoever does that transfer, that transfer you can't do. Because that, even if you're going less than Dalet Amos, but that's a significant transfer. That's going from one Rishus to the next. That has nothing to do with Dalet Amos.
So once you get the kid to the house, he would have to walk in on his own?
Yeah. Now, there are other, it's sophisticated, because if you have a child who's now cooperating, so then you might have Chai Noseis Atzmo, that a live child, a child that's cooperating,
sort of carries himself.
Himself.
A little bit, yeah.
So there might be the interesting factors, but overall, the correct way to be to do it would be either to transfer one to the other, or if you're stuck, you're walking on your own, certainly you can't leave the child indefinitely, right? So then you do this other solution, which is walking less than Dalet Amos and continually resting as you're going. It'll take you a little longer than you anticipated, but it's totally doable if the child's in that condition. Also, the child might start cooperating after a certain point and make it possible. Okay, Yeshkoach, have a great day.